Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
It's the biggest story of the day, and it hasn't happened yet, but there are reports out there now. Liz Loza of Yahoo Sports, she tweeted out that Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys are closing in on a four-year deal worth $35 million per year. 4 years, $35 million, and Charles Robinson, who's also an NFL reporter and insider for Yahoo, he has also reported that it appears that the Cowboys are getting close to this type of deal, that the Cowboys still want the fifth year, but they are closing in on a four-year deal at least for $35 million a year. And here's the bottom line on that. That will tie Dak Prescott, I guess, for the most money per year, along with Russell Wilson. But I'm willing to bet the guaranteed money would be higher than Wilson got, and not only higher than Wilson, but I believe it would probably be, if not equal to Jared Goff's league record of $110 million guaranteed, I think it will surpass that. I'm sure they're going to give Dak some type of bone that's going to make him the highest paid in some form or fashion, whether it's the $35 million a year or the per year salary or the guarantee. So bottom line is this: the Cowboys and Dak Prescott reportedly are closing in on a deal that would tie him at least for the biggest contract in NFL history. I think it is a great move. And look, let me first say this. Anyone who's listened to the show all these months, you know, I like Dak Prescott. I think he's a winner. I think he's got the intangibles. He's got the track record. Check his record. He's won more games as a starter, or really he's been a starter from day one. He's won more games since he entered the league than any quarterback not named Tom Brady, and he's tied with Russell Wilson. So that's saying a lot. All that said, as much as I like Dak, he's not a top five quarterback. So I'm not trying to say he's the best quarterback in the league or a top five quarterback. But what I am saying is he's a franchise quarterback. You can win with him. He's a leader. And this deal, and I'm sure that's why the Cowboys want to make it 5 years. Dak wants only four. The Cowboys want to go five. They want to go five because they know in short order, you know, assuming that the league is able to start on time and they don't lose money like the NBA and Major League Baseball are going to do, the Cowboys know that $35 million a year will not look too bad, will not be too burdensome in a few years. Jimmy Garoppolo's deal, when he was the highest paid, doesn't look burdensome at all. Matt Stafford doesn't look like a huge amount at all. That's how Kirk Cousins, he just signed an extension, but before that, doesn't look like a huge amount at all. And so I think this is a smart move by the Cowboys if indeed they can lock Dak in 4 years, $35 million. Rob Parker, you there?
Yes. All right. No, I just didn't know if you could hear me. All right. Once again, Chris, you're tainted with your rose-colored Dak Prescott glasses. You're talking about a guy who couldn't even get a team to the playoffs after they started 3-0 last year, or whatever were they, 3-0 or 4-0, and they couldn't even make the playoffs. Dak played awful against some of the better teams. He played well against it, and you say he's not a top five. He's a middle-of-the-road quarterback. That's why there's hesitation. That's why if he was really your guy, you you would have signed him just for the reason that you said. It's going to cost you more down the road, so you might as well get him paid, get him set and locked into some sort of contract, because usually things only go up, and they weren't willing to do it. I think the Cowboys would make a big mistake. That's why they've been hemming and hawing. Anyway, they don't believe in Dak Prescott. There's question marks. That's why they've done this. Everybody else paid their guys. You could talk about all the wins. Oh, he had the second most wins to Tom Brady. That's not what it's about.
Isn't it about wins?
No, because you can win other ways.
I thought there was a short menu, Rob Parker.
You can win in other ways.
Now all of a sudden there's not a short menu?
No, not when you're going to make it pay a guy a lot of money, and you know that unless everything else is working, they don't win. They didn't win last year, Chris. You could talk about everything.
Well, why are we
go back? Hold on.
What about the defense?
Go back.
What about the drop passes?
No.
What about Zeke?
No. Stop.
What about the coach who got fired? It's
go
all
read.
Dak's fault?
Go read all the preseason hubbub about the Cowboys
and about making the Super Bowl.
Oh, they got Dak, and once they got
what's that mean? That's just a bunch of reporters giving their opinion.
No, it ain't. That everybody was all in. They won the division two of the last 3 years. This is the year they're going to march to the Super Bowl. And they don't even get to the damn playoffs. Dak was awful when it mattered. They went into Philadelphia.
Carson Wentz.
They went into Philadelphia, and Carson Wentz beat Dak. Dak couldn't even get a touchdown and a makeshift Eagles team with the season and the division on the line. The Cowboys saw that. That's why they paused. And they can go ahead and pay him.
Stop it with that false narrative.
It'll be a disaster.
What are you talking about? That's why they paused. If they had that much pause, they wouldn't be about to give him a 4-year deal that's going to make him the highest quarterback ever.
Everybody would have made that deal a long time ago. Everybody else got paid.
If they didn't believe in him, they wouldn't give him the deal. Period. They keep him on the franchise tag.
That's why he's on a franchise tag. It ain't no deal done yet. Did he sign a deal?
We're talking reportedly.
Is there a deal done now, Chris? Yes or no?
Who said a deal was done?
Is there a deal?
Did I ever say a deal was done?
All I'm saying is he's on the franchise tag. That's how good he is. He's on the franchise tag.
So when they give him the deal, then what's your argument going to be?
Just like Kirk Cousins. He never got a deal from the Redskins. No, I'm just saying. I'm talking about he was on the franchise tag.
I can't talk about what might happen.
It ain't happened yet. They could have done this months ago.
If they give it to him, then your argument was wrong.
No, then they must have caved in or decided they have no choice. Now, maybe they couldn't get Tom Brady to come.
Or they couldn't get anybody else to come.
And maybe that was the reason.
Tom Brady? Were they ever interested in Tom Brady?
Were there ever real reports out there?
It was just a rumor. It was rumors about San Francisco, too. Come on. Rumors about all these teams out there. The Raiders. They believe in Dak. They didn't want to make him the highest paid quarterback in the league. Fine. He's not the best quarterback in the league.
Everybody else got a raise and got the highest contract. Everybody else.
How's it worked out for all those teams?
That's the nature of the business.
How many of them have won the Super Bowl?
And doing business
with that
in the NFL. Matthew Stafford got the highest contract when his turn came up. Did he win a Super Bowl? A playoff game? No, when his turn came up, they paid him. They didn't him and
well,
haw.
Well, you know what?
They paid him.
If I'm an NFL team, my number one goal is not to follow the trend. My number one goal is to set the best trend
yes,
for us to win.
Yes, and that's why the Cowboys got 3 playoff wins in 25 years.
Because they're the ones.
It's their business that they're doing. Yeah, follow the Cowboys. They do it right.
They entered negotiations.
Cowboys have no idea what they're doing.
They entered negotiations saying, we don't want to set the market. Now, if at the end, everybody goes into negotiations with great things you're asking for. And eventually you have to give and then get what you get.
Did they set the market with Ezekiel Elliott?
They didn't want to make him the highest paid quarterback in the league, but they're going to have to. That doesn't mean they didn't want him. They clearly want him. If they didn't want him, they would stop negotiations. We franchised you, that's it. So that Kirk Cousins stuff, no. It's not the same thing. I think it's a smart deal. You got your other guys lined up. You got Amari. You got Zeke. You got your defense. It's time to get it done. They made the right call with Dak Prescott, assuming they get this done.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Interesting stories about the draft. Now, the NFL has decided that they are going to hold the draft as it was originally scheduled, April 23rd through the 25th. But there appear to be a lot of general managers that want to push it back because they feel like, you know, there's so many opportunities that you usually have to interview and get to know the players you may draft that aren't there now, obviously. And so they want to push it back. I personally, Rob, I'm all for the NFL going ahead with the draft as scheduled in April. And here's why. One, I think that the technology today still allows you to get to know draft picks fairly well. Now, I know you'll miss something. You won't have the in-person interviews and experiences and things like that. But you can get on, whether it's FaceTime or, you know, whatever it is, Skype. You can do interviews with guys. You obviously can watch more film and have more statistical data on these players than you ever could before. You can talk to their coaches and scouts and, you know, all manner of people around the player. So I believe with technology today, you can get more than enough information on these athletes to still make intelligent decisions about who you're going to draft. It's never going to be foolproof. We see that all the time. You're never going to know 100%. Is this guy going to pan out? So I think we got the technology. That's number one. Number two, nobody has an advantage. It's not like 10 teams in the AFC will get to meet with players, but then the rest of the league doesn't. Everybody's playing by the same rules, so nobody has an advantage. That's number two. And number three, and this is a small matter. It's really not, shouldn't be a huge concern for the NFL, but it's giving us news. This is a time where people are starved for NFL news. You saw last week with all the free agency stuff, how big that was. This will be huge for the NFL, for their fans, even though it's not going to be your typical draft extravaganza that they always plan. It'll still be must-see TV for a lot of people because they're starving for sports news. So I think it's fine to go ahead and have the draft as scheduled.
Couldn't disagree more. I think in these times with so many things happening, league stoppage of play, it's easy to do free agency because you don't have to have those meetings. You already know what the guys can do. They already have a resume. They've played in the league, so it's a little different. Here, and you say with the technology and Skype and do all that, that's the problem of like internet dating. Somebody looks good from a camera or has a good preview or profile, and then you meet them and they're not the same. And there's nothing like meeting a person in person to really get a feel. A guy could be a specimen, but you don't know really if the guy has that kind of there's something about a handshake with somebody, what somebody's about. I don't think it's going to ruin the NFL if they wait a little bit and give those guys their moment to really meet people. You might be able to impress somebody. I think everybody else has put everything on the back burner, including the Olympics. When you think about the Olympics and the world wars and all the bad stuff that's happened in this world,
that's competition.
I understand that, but I'm just saying that everybody else has put everything on hold.
The NFL hasn't.
The NFL, well, I just said the free agency because it's not a personal thing. I just think this should wait, and people should get a chance to meet people in person. And that's just my point of view. I really don't think it's going to be the end of the world if they wait a little bit before they do it. So I'm saying I'm against it. Maybe the NFL will change its mind. I don't know if if they've made that decision. Has it been made, Rob G?
They've made the decision. I mean, I guess they could always change it, but right now, Goodell has said it's still going to be April 23rd to the 25th.
Yeah, we'll see how things go and where we are in the country as we get closer to it. And who knows? maybe things are better and then it's different, or maybe they're not.
Well, I think there also is so much uncertainty. Mike Friedman wrote a great article recently. Well, he just tweeted it. He just tweeted about how a lot of GMs he's talking to around the league and coaches, they actually think that the NFL season's not going to start on time. That's what their doctors are telling them. I mean, this is something Friedman tweeted. He's a plugged-in insider in the NFL. And my, whether that's the case or not, let's just say this shutdown or, you know, continues into the summer. And maybe, though, you're able to start the NFL season on time, you may not have time to go through all that extra stuff we do with draft picks anyway. Because you still may have to draft them based on a Skype interview, based on the film, based on the conversations and interviews with other people around the players, because you don't have time to do all that other stuff before training camp. So it could, you know, with all the uncertainty, it could throw a monkey wrench into things anyway. Speaking of free agency, which you mentioned, Rob, Antonio Brown is still pounding that drum of going to Tampa Bay. And he's been pounding the drum to play with Tom Brady, you know, ever since he seemingly left New England. Now, we know he's got the legal issues, and of course, he may not even be able to play. But putting that aside, assuming he is at some point able to play football soon, do you think it's a good idea for the Buccaneers to take on Antonio Brown?
No way, no how. I don't understand why they would do that. Receivers, tight ends, they got plenty of young guys, talented. Tom Brady supposedly has all the weapons he needs. To add AB into the mix makes no sense. It can only upset the apple cart, mess up the young guys who are already feeling like, okay, now they got a quarterback, they can make a real run, they already got their positions and everything solidified. We saw it adding, and I'm not saying OBJ is the same, but they already had enough offensive weapons when they brought OBJ in, and it wound up not working out. I'm not saying it was all his fault. There were other issues there. Baker Mayfield had a terrible season, but it didn't work out. And I'm just saying, don't fix something if it ain't broke. And it has nothing to do with whether I'm against AB playing or having another opportunity. If he's cleared, he's clearly good enough to play for a team that's willing to give him a chance. I just don't think that if I'm Tampa Bay, that's not what I want to do. I just brought in Tom Brady. We got a nice nucleus. We feel we're good. We don't need to add anything else to the mix right now. Wide receivers, not an issue for them.
I don't know that it's going to happen. I lean toward it. It's not going to happen, whether he can play or not. But if I'm Tampa Bay, I would look into it. Now, you made some good points. You made some solid points. But Antonio Brown is a different type of receiver. And I don't mean quality. I just mean he's a different type of receiver than Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Those guys are deep threats. They're down the field guys. Antonio Brown, they could put him in the slot. He's the underneath guy. That's where he's made his living a lot of times. And I think it'd be worth bringing him in. Now, it would have to be an absolutely team-friendly contract. I don't know if anything's guaranteed. If you so much as, you know, raise your voice at somebody the wrong way, we can cut you. Like, he'd have to be on a tight leash. But with his talent, and again, him being in the slot, the deep threats they have, you got the tight ends, it's something I would look at if I'm Tampa Bay. It is definitely something I would look at. I don't know if Tom Brady, you know, obviously Brady took a liking to Antonio. Antonio seems to have taken a liking to Brady, seems to have some respect for him. I don't know if Brady can help keep him, you know, in good spirits and acting right. I don't know that. But again, I think it'd be worth a try. You know what I compare it to? When the Lakers brought on Dwight Howard, I said, look, it's a no risk, not forget low risk, no risk, potentially high reward deal. And Dwight, with all his issues everywhere else, he's come in, been a good soldier. He's been humbled. There's a big leader there in LeBron that he respects, and he's just doing it, playing his role, not being a problem. I could see that being the case with Antonio Brown. And again, it all depends on the contract. If I can get him on a good type of contract like the Lakers got Dwight, I would do it.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We are about to be joined by former NFL wide receiver, former Cowboys receiver, Bryce Butler. Bryce, welcome to the iCouple.
What's going on, man? How y'all doing?
We are great, man. How are you? You staying safe these days?
Yeah, I'm staying safe, man, living healthy, you know, staying prayed up, staying faithful. Everything good over this hand.
Good. Now,
absolutely.
You played 3 years with the Cowboys.
Three and a half.
And obviously Dak Prescott was your quarterback. Now, there's reports today that they are closing in. It's not done, but they're closing in on a deal that would make him basically tie him with Russell Wilson as being the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, 4 years, $35 million a year, dollars a year. Do you think that Dak Prescott is worth that type of money? You know him as well as anybody.
Oh, yeah, no question, Chris. You know how it goes in the league. You know, there's a market. There's a market value, and every year that market increases for specific players. And with the body of work that Dak has put forth in his first 4 years as a fourth-round draft pick, I think he should get the market value, if not even more than what that is. I know that I think they were trying to give him like $32 million earlier in the season, or 30 or something like that. And I remember, you know, everybody always asked me, like, do you think that should get paid? And I'm like, man, if I'm Dak, I'm going in there telling them I want 42, you know, and try to at least get it down. Because, you know, with negotiations, you go higher.
Right.
You try to get it down to a number that you actually think that you should get. And I never talked to him about it in specifics, but I always thought the number would be around 35 or 36. So I think he deserves it, man. I mean, he's put up great numbers. He has a lot of wins. Obviously, last year as a team success wasn't great. They're 8-8. Everybody thought they were going to at least be Super Bowl contenders. But I think he deserves that money. If you look at the other guys that have gotten paid, his peers, guys that came out around the same time he did, like Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, and all those guys, they've gotten paid. And I think Dax has just as much success as those guys have outside of the fact that he hasn't been to a Super Bowl yet.
Outstanding answer. Did you hear that, Rob Parker?
I heard it, and I'm still not buying it, which is fine, and I respect his opinion. Because he plays with Dak and all that, and I expect you to stand up for the guy. My only big issue is why the Cowboys were hemming and hawing. If they really thought that they had their guy, just as you said, the market normally, the next quarterback up gets paid regardless, because that's just the market. That's how it's played out. We saw Matthew Stafford with zero playoff wins in his career be the highest paid player in the NFL because his contract was up. And you got to re-sign your quarterback.
Time.
And am I right? And they didn't try to do that to Dak. So to me, by them even slapping a franchise tag, and this is not even done yet, but it reminds me of Kirk Cousins. They, for some reason, didn't believe in him. They gave him two franchise tags, and he wound up moving on, going somewhere else. So that's the only issue I have is, obviously, there's some reason that they just don't want to follow suit like everybody else who pays their guy. And this is the other point. The longer you wait, the more it's going to cost you. So if he's your guy, what's the holdup?
I'll tell you why. This is what I think. This is my opinion, unprofessional opinion. I think it's his leverage, and this is what I mean by that. A lot of those guys that you named outside of Kirk Cousins were all first-round picks, outside of the fact that Russell was a third-round pick, but he went to two Super Bowls in back-to-back years. Dak was a fourth-round pick. I want to say Kirk Cousins was a third- or fourth-round pick as well. And what I've noticed in the league through the 7 years that I played, guys that weren't like first- or second-round picks, it just seems like they don't have the same exact leverage that the first-round picks guys get when it comes to the time that they want to sign a contract. And I think with Dak, him being a fourth-round pick, like how you said, Rob, like some of those guys in there are thinking like he was a fourth round pick, fourth round pick. If he was a first round pick, he would have got paid probably before the season even started. And I think that's the only reason. I don't, like, you can't fault Dak for that. I just say you have to look at the guys up in the higher offices because they look at that and go, he wasn't a first round grade, so should he get this type of money?
But here's my.
I don't think it should be that way, but.
I agree with that premise, okay? I buy that. That there's some of that there where he wasn't the chosen one, right? But here's the other part. Last year, had all the pieces in place. Everybody, people talking Super Bowl, all that. He balled out against the bad teams. If you remember the Cowboys start, they were 3-0 or whatever it was, and they looked like they're going to run away with the division. Eagles and Giants were bad, the whole nine yards. And then when they played some of the better teams, he struggled. And in the biggest game of the year at Philadelphia with the division on the line, had he won that game, they would have won the division 3 out of 4 years. They would have had a chance to make a run. And not only did he play poorly, he didn't even have a touchdown in that game. And Carson Wentz, playing with a mass unit, also ran. Do you know what I mean? I mean, that was a game to me that would make me go, is he really that guy?
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Rob. I'm 100% with you. Yes, you don't want to be 8-8 as a quarterback. Ever, because in this league, I heard y'all talking about Tom Brady the other day. In this league, you're talked about for your wins and losses when you're a quarterback. If you're a receiver, it's not that way. If you're a defensive end, it's not that way. So, yes, 8-8 didn't look well. And then in the end of the year when it was him versus Carson, and I think Dak was a little banged up, but who's not banged up at the end of the year? Dak didn't have his best performance. My only thing to that is, are we going to just judge his whole career, his 4-year career so far on that last season that just didn't end up working out the way that everybody expected to work out? Chris, you're married, right? I'm married as well. You and your wife might have the most arguments when her expectations is a certain way and it doesn't happen that way, right?
Right.
But in my case, I'm divorced, so I didn't re-sign her. You know what I mean?
You tried to put the franchise tag on her.
That's right. I didn't re-sign her.
I went
to free agency looking for something.
Bryce, I'm with you. Let me ask you this. I've said, and I'm with you on Dak. I think he deserves the money. You know, they should get it done. I think they'd actually be benefiting because, you know, a few years from now, that $35 million is not going to look like a lot. It's not, you know, guys are going to come and make more. What is it? One thing I've always said about Dak is I think he's a winner. I think he's a great leader. He seems to be able to lead men. You know, guys believe in him. What is it about him in the locker room? You know, he has all those intangibles. Talk to me about what he's like in the locker room and why guys believe in him.
Oh, man, Dak, I mean, even from when he got there, he just has a presence about him. Like, obviously, when he first got there, he wasn't Dak 13-3, you know, in the spring of 2016. But, like he was always ready to work. He never backed down to competition or a challenge. If you guys remember – that year, it was Tony Romo, his offensive coordinator, Kellen, and then it was him. And nobody expected him to be in that predicament that he was in because he was the third guy. But he always knew what to do. He always made the right throws in practice. He always said the right things to his players, even if, like, say me, for instance, I didn't make a play in practice, he would always say the right thing to, you know, hey, let's drop that. Next play, let's go. I got you. I'm coming right back to you. You know what I'm saying? And you go back in the huddle like, all right, for sure. Like, all right, cool. Like, I ain't worried about that one. You know, so he always had those, like, unseen intangibles that I had players looking up to him like, let's go. And then once Kellen Moore got hurt, like, the second or third day in practice, they started throwing him in there more in training camp. And, you know, Tony Romo, he was older, so he didn't practice every day. You know, he was getting a lot of the action, and like he was answering the bell. Like, he was making the right calls. He was making the right throws, like I said, making the right checks at the lines. And guys were like, oh, I mean, this young guy ready to go. Like, he was 23 when he came in. So, like, he wasn't like a 21-year-old young guy that, like, was still kind of immature. Like, he was ready. And, like, he went through a lot of stuff, adversity as a player at Mississippi State. And he was groomed and he was ready to come in as a rookie. And, like, that's – and then, obviously, he had a great season. We had a great team season that year in 2016. And then that was it. You know, like, we saw – like, he jumped on me one time. It was like, Dez got hurt, and I was starting, like, for 3 weeks straight, and we played the Niners. And I was just battling with this one guy. I forgot his name, and I made this nice catch over him. And I kind of, like, flung the ball at him, and they threw a penalty on me. And he, like, jumped in – he jumped in my face, like, in the huddle. Like, it was nothing. And I'm, like, looking at him like – man, but I couldn't say nothing because he was my quarterback and I trusted him, you know, and I did something that wasn't right, you know, and he wasn't scared to, you know, jump in my face and be like, let's go, bro. Like, you can't do that. And he's just been like, he's been that way since day one. And I mean, you can see it, like, you know, when you see him on the sideline, like, guys listen to him. Guys aren't like, you know, bad mouthing him when he walks by him. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has everybody's respect on that team. And, I'm excited for him. I'm happy for him. I just hope he can keep going and, like, win the championship Super Bowl at some point in his career.
Bryce, great stuff, man.
Yes,
we appreciate
you. You and your family, stay safe.
Take care of your family. Yeah, stay safe.
Yeah, you guys, too. And I appreciate the opportunity.
Yep, yes. We'll be in touch.